If you will, go ahead and turn to your two scriptures, Genesis chapter 1, John chapter 3. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, the first part of verse 3. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. If you'll keep your place there and turn to John chapter 3, verse 19. "And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light." Remember that phrase. Men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. Beloved, I am always, I praise God for all of these years of coming to the Lord as a child and reading His Word year after year after year. And the older I get, the more amazed, the more astonished I am at the things that we find in God's Word. The depth, the layers of meaning, and the richness, the pearls that we can dive down into the depths of the ocean of His Word, and we can draw up pearls of truth, the deeper and deeper revelation of Christ to our hearts, the illumination to the inner man. This revelation of Christ that we speak of is called light in the Word of God. Light. It is when we receive light, it is when we receive the Word of Christ concerning any certain thing, He is giving us light on that particular subject or that particular thing. Christ is both light and Word. The Bible says that Jesus is the living Word of God. I'm laying a foundation, so bear with me and follow me for a moment. Jesus is the living Word of God, and He said, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me walks in light and not in darkness." Amen. Light. Spiritually, light is when truth breaks in upon your inner man. When truth is revealed to you, sometimes it comes like the dawn, very imperceptibly and very slowly, as you feed upon the Word of God and you grow to understand and to know things according to the thoughts of God that you had not known in times past. Sometimes, however, it is like lightning that strikes, and suddenly you have a revelation, you have light on subject, a subject in the Word of God, something perhaps that God is dealing with you concerning an issue of the heart. Sometimes light breaking in upon the inner man is like waves washing and cleansing you, making you clean once again before the Lord. Because the Word of God says that His Word cleanses us as we feed upon His Word. Sometimes this revelation, this light of Christ that breaks in upon the inner man, it leaves you with your mouth hanging wide open in wonder at the awe, the marvelous things of God, the wonder of the glory of God that we discover. Sometimes when that truth breaks in upon your soul, it is like, or it is the answer to something that you need so desperately to understand. Yes. Something that has been deeply troubling or even tormenting you. And then God reveals something in His Word, and it's light that breaks in upon the inner man, and it is such a relief, and it is so brilliant, and it is such an answer for the thing for which you are longing, the thing which you need to understand. It illuminates your way. It gives you perception. It gives you direction. The Word says in Psalms, "Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Yes. God is such a God of creativity and activity. He is a God who shapes and creates and forms things, and He is a God who fills things that need to be filled, and He is a God who illuminates things that are in darkness. God is a God who creates, shapes, forms, fills, and illuminates. In these first three verses of Genesis chapter 1, the Word of God describes the beginning of all creation. The beginning of all creation, the literal description of God's bringing into existence things which have not been. And may I take one side note here to say that evolution, the subject and the theory of evolution, devalues everything that I am saying to you this morning about the Word of God. It devalues, it would rob you of this illumination that I'm talking about. It would rob you of the light breaking in upon your soul that I'm speaking of, that comes only from the living Word of God. It will rob you of the deeper truths that are found in this passage of Scripture when you cease to believe that God literally spoke and out of nothingness came everything that you find in this world today. For if you cannot believe that these truths are true as they are written, how can you believe in the new creation? If you cannot believe what He says about the old creation, the first creation,
yes,
how can you believe what He says about you being a new creation in Christ?
Amen.
And everything that He says about the first creation, though literally true, is also filled with depths, an ocean of wonder, of meaning, and of revelation concerning the new creation and what He would do in your life. So we find in these three little verses the description of the first creation and a description of the new creation. For before God made the earth perfect for His presence, for you see, He was coming to dwell among men. Before God made the earth perfect for His presence, He describes the condition of this yet to be creation in three conditions, as having three conditions. And those conditions are found in these three verses. The first we find is that the earth was without form. What does that mean for it to be without form? It means that it was in disorder. It was without substance. It was had not yet come into being. And as we move into this passage of Scripture and we find what God begins to do, we can say that that first description, that first condition was chaos, disorder, lacking full expression. Because let me say to you this morning that when something, anything, is in full array of disorder, it lacks the expression for which it was intended. When something is in disarray and disorder, it is not complete and it does not express that which it is going to express when it is brought into right order. The second word that describes this condition is that it was void, which means that it was vacant. It was a place of emptiness. There was, again, no substance. There was nothing yet. And so we find that there is emptiness as well as disorder. And the third condition that we find is darkness. There was no light. There was no light. The Bible says that darkness was upon the face of the deep. This word deep, the face of the deep, comes to have spiritual significance as we move through the Word of God. It comes to speak of the deep places within the heart of man, where God meets with man. The Bible says that deep calls unto deep. in the noise of his waterfalls, speaking symbolically of the voice of God speaking into the depths of man. We find it in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where he says that the natural man cannot receive the things of God, but they are spiritually discerned, for spirit speaks to spirit. Where? In the depths of the human spirit, in the face of the deep within the human heart. I need to move quickly and not add anything to what God has given me for today, or we will be here too long. It is significant that the first mention of the voice of God is as he speaks to the deep, to the depths, to the face of the deep, in the place of emptiness, in the place of darkness. God speaks. And when God speaks, something always happens. Amen. Amen. So say with me these three words: disorder,
Emptiness,
and darkness. And they are listed for us in the Word of God in those three, in that order: disorder, emptiness, and darkness. Before he made the earth perfect for his presence, there was emptiness. There was disorder first. There was emptiness, and there was darkness. And before he can make you perfect, as in not sinless, but fit, ready, equipped, before he can make you perfect for his presence, God must deal with these three conditions in your heart: disorder, emptiness, and darkness. Let's begin here. For if you but just examine the life of the unsaved person. I'm preaching to the church. But always there can be those within the house who do not truly know the Lord. If you but examine the life of an unsaved man, woman, boy, or girl, their life is summed up, according to God, in these three words: disorder, emptiness, and darkness. The unsaved man's life is out of order because everything is out of alignment with the Word and the will of God. Before we are saved, we do not know God in our hearts. He has not come to dwell within us. And yet there is some truth that we know, and we are not even obedient to that truth. And therefore we walk in darkness. We do not have the light of Christ. The Bible says that before we come to Christ, we are in the kingdom of darkness, and that when we come to Christ, he takes us out of the kingdom of darkness and snatches us out of it and puts us in the kingdom of light, the kingdom of his Son. And so everything is out of alignment with God if you don't know God, if you're not born again. The unsaved person's life is a place of deep, deep emptiness. One great Christian philosopher of the past said, in the heart of every man is a God-shaped vacuum which only God can fill. There's an emptiness in the heart of man. There is a truth, a reality that God has created you as a vessel. I can't teach on the vessels today, but you were created as a vessel. And how many of you know that a vessel has a purpose? It is to contain something. And until you're born again, you do not contain the Spirit of the living God. So there is a deep emptiness. There's a vacuum. There's a void. There's a lack of purpose. How can you come to know your purpose if you're not filled with the one who gives you purpose, who created you with purpose? And there is darkness. There is darkness in the life of the unsaved person because the Bible says that his thoughts, his imaginations run toward evil and not towards obedience to God. And because of these three things, his life is given over to an unseen enemy and all of the demonic spirits who would deceive us and keep us in darkness and keep us away from God's plan and his purpose for our lives. Oh, beloved, how great is our salvation in Jesus Christ. that he would come and that he would speak a word, that revelation, that light would come to us. And when we respond in faith, that he would begin to take disorder and he would change it. He would begin to arrange your life according to his word and bring order where there was disorder, that he would fill the place that was once empty, and he would put light in the place where there once was darkness. But again, I am preaching not to the lost today, but to the church, to those who are the redeemed, those who have already been lifted out of darkness and brought into the kingdom of light. So let me use this as a segue to clarify something upon which the rest of the message will focus. For you, or any believer, to the believer, the flesh nature, now, I believe all of you know what the flesh nature is. It's not just this. It's not just skin. It is self. It is that in you that was once in opposition to God. It is where you would run if you had your own way. It is the residence of pride, of self, and of self-direction, self-will. And we still battle with self. Amen? We still battle with self. But the flesh nature, so listen closely, for the believer, the flesh nature is still everything that the lost man was. You may not like to hear that. You're born again. You're filled with the Spirit of God. You're seeking to serve God, to love God, but you still battle with that old flesh nature. The book of Romans describes it in so many different ways. You still have self to contend with. God has come and taken up residence in your life. He has done miraculous and wonderful things. Yet there's that tug of war. There's that battle against your old flesh, against yourself, your flesh nature, as we call it in the Word of God. Understand this, that your flesh nature cannot be rehabilitated. It has to be crucified. It has to be denied. It has to be taken to the cross of Christ, and that you choose to submit to the will of God, and that the Spirit of God gives you power and strength in the inner man to live the life that God has ordained for you to live. So understand that principle, that the flesh nature in you, though God has come to live within you and you may even be walking in victory, the flesh nature, whatever amount is still there battling against the spirit within you, the flesh nature is still in itself everything that the lost man, in other words, what you were before Christ, it still is. It still wants to govern. It still wants to rule. It still wants to make all of your decisions. It does not want you to submit to the will of God. It will distract you. It will allure you with other things. It will make the world seem more appealing than Christ. Many, many other things. It will make it very difficult to pray. And beloved, that does not end until we go home to be with Jesus. In the spirit, in potential, in God, you are a new creation. He calls you a new creation. God sees you as a new creation, but you're always still becoming. You are new, and you should be able to say, praise God, I am not what I was yesterday, but neither am I what God has intended for me. And so you have that war always going on and that dichotomy going on, that I'm not what I was, but there's still growth and there's still change to take place, and there's still much ground to be won in this battle with the flesh and this growth in the Lord. And so God is changing you, and he is bringing your life into order. He is bringing your life into alignment. I want you to just keep hearing these words in your spirit: disorder, emptiness, darkness, in that order. Disorder, emptiness, and darkness. And so we find that those are the condition of the flesh. That's the condition of the lost person. But it is the condition of our self that we battle with so much as we walk, as we go along this journey. And so we find, again, those three things: disorder, emptiness, and darkness. But I'd be willing to bet that most of you have never called them such, never thought of them as such. We don't identify them as such. Let's talk about what they mean for a few moments in our own lives. Disorder. We are born out of order. The Bible teaches we're born in the image of Adam. We're born with a sin nature. We are born with everything already out of alignment with the Word of God until we come to Christ. So there's disarray. We begin in disarray. If we began in perfect order, we would come out walking. How about that? But we have to bring things into order. We have to learn. We have to grow because we live in a fallen world. Same thing in our walk with Christ. We don't come out walking. We're born again and we have to grow and we have to learn. And we are born with a nature that is out of order. And God's word is there always working to bring it into order. Our lives are like the solar system. If all order ceased to exist in the solar system or in the universe, planets drifting, crashing into each other. That's what we're like, even in the church. Planets drifting and crashing into each other. Almost all of our problems, let me say it this way, almost all of our problems that may be identified and are visible to other people, our surface problems, almost all of our problems are problems of disorder. Problems of disorder. Sin is a problem of disorder. Everything is out of order. It's not in relationship, correct relationship to the Word of God. If you're having problems in relationships, and who doesn't? If you're having problems in relationships, it's a problem of disorder in a fallen world. Because our relationships so often are not according to the Word of God. They're not ordered according to the Word of God, but according to emotion and according to feeling and according to opinion. Relationships are out of order because they're not aligned with the Word of God. Our finances, most of you would say, oh, help me, Lord, my finances. It's because we're out of order. And you know it is. It's because we're out of order. Either we don't give to God first, or we don't manage, even if we do, we don't manage what we have according to the principles He has given us in His Word. We're out of order. Things are chaotic. Many of us live in a constant state of almost going over the cliff of bankruptcy because we don't have things in order. And it's very difficult sometimes to get those things in order. Our health. And I realize we live in a fallen world, and in a fallen world there are going to be health problems, but that's part of the problem. This entire world is out of order as far as alignment with God. Do you understand that the Bible says that all of creation is groaning, waiting for the revelation or the revealing of the sons, the manifestation of the sons of God when Christ comes again and transforms these lowly bodies into bodies like unto His own. When He comes and establishes His kingdom, creation itself is going to be brought back into order and into perfection. But health, our health many times is because of not following God's order. Look at the massive disease and health issues that are simply because of sexual sin. Because of sexual sin, we have diseases that manifest themselves throughout the world because man will not live according to what God has designed. Even though things that are not the direct result of sin or disorder are still because we live in a fallen world where all things are out of alignment. Teenagers, children, almost all of your problems or because things are out of order. Disorder either around you or disorder in your own life. Sometimes it's the disorder of the parents. Sometimes it's the disorder of the children. Because we have a sin nature. Disorder. Emptiness. See, whatever you're struggling with this morning, you can pinpoint it right here in these three things. Whatever your greatest problems are this morning, I don't need to know what they are. The Lord knows what they are. Emptiness. Because of emptiness, people try to fill their lives with other things. And those things God describes as idols in your life. modern man, including many Christians, are so busy with their disorder that they ignore Him and become empty, because the Bible says that we are to be continually being filled with the Spirit of God. But if we're not filled with the Spirit of God because our lives are filled with disorder, then we find that our life is a very empty, empty bucket. Emptiness produces depression. Emptiness produces despair and fruitless lives. Sadness, loneliness, and all manner of self-destructive thoughts come through a vacant heart, a heart that is void. It was void, the Word of God says. Bitterness, I say this often because it's like the number one calamity of the church. Offense. If you can't stop being offended, it's because something is out of order and something is empty. I promise you. Wounded spirits, all found in emptiness. Emptiness. Darkness. Third one is darkness, the absence of light. Light, as I took you in the beginning, light is when the truth, the revelation from Christ, the Word of God, when in reality it breaks in upon the inner man, it gives you direction. But if you're empty and you're in disorder, there is darkness. There is no fresh revelation from the Lord. It's described in history in the time of Eli in the Old Testament as Samuel was coming on the scene. Eli was the aging prophet or the aging priest, high priest of God. And during his leadership, because he had become dull to the things of God, he was in disorder. He was empty and things were totally just out of array with him, and there was darkness in the land, spiritual darkness. And the Bible describes it as a time when there was no widespread revelation of the Lord. There was no voice of God to the people of God, because God, in order to speak to His people, has to first have a vessel that is in order and that is filled with light. For when He speaks, light comes to the heart of man. Light comes to a nation because someone hears the Word of God, because their life has been ordered according to the Word of God, filled with the Spirit of God, and now there is light in the inner man and they can receive what God desires to say. There was darkness over Israel. Disorder. Emptiness. Darkness. You ever noticed how these three conditions cry out to be resolved? Disorder. Now, I am not talking about anyone's place. This is a simple little thing in the natural. But if your heart and your thoughts are in disorder, generally everything that you possess will also be in disorder. Have you ever seen the show on television about hoarders? Hoarders' lives are in total disorder. The house is in total disorder. How many of you would agree when you see those scenes, it's like it just cries out to be fixed? When things are in disorder, when things are in disarray, it's so obvious that something is wrong that it's like it's just crying out, someone straighten me out, fix me up. Put me back in order. Put things in place. It's not right for things to be in such chaos and in such disorder. Have you ever seen an empty vase? Or if you're of one class, you may say vase. Have you ever seen an empty vase sitting there? It may be a work of art in itself. It may be sitting in an art museum. But it wasn't created to sit in an art museum. It was created to hold flowers or something. And it's sitting there. It may be beautiful to look at, but if you really stop and look, it's got this big gaping hole at the top and it's empty. That's not what it was created for. And when a vessel is empty, it cries out to be filled with something. To give it purpose. Describe some of you here this morning. Darkness cries out for light. Just walk into a place where there's not one little twinge of light, and it just yearns. Put a candle in there. Do something. Turn on your cell phone, because there needs to be some light where there is darkness. It's not normal. It's not according to God's plan that things would remain dark. It's not according to God's plan things would remain empty. It's not according to God's plan that things would remain in disorder. It's not according to God's plan that you would walk in darkness. It's not according to God's plan that you would go unfilled with no purpose. It's not according to God's plan that your life would be chaotic, disorder, out of alignment with the Word of God, so you're always running around with a calamity, running around in a crisis. So we go to God or hide from Him, depending on who you are. We go to God regarding all of these, our problems. We can name all these problems, but really, beloved, they're just symptoms. God simply deals with these three: disorder, emptiness, and darkness. You go to Him and say, "Oh God, my family's falling apart. My family's a mess. Can you please help me?" Of course, God cares, and God works many, many miracles, but what He wants to deal with is disorder, emptiness, darkness. Because if He deals with disorder, emptiness, and darkness, the family is going to walk in light. If we would but submit to God, if we would just submit to God and say, "God, put my life in order according to Your word. Fill me with Your Spirit, O God, according to Your promise. Take darkness from me. Fill my life with light. The light of the revelation of Christ. The light of the truth of Your word." How our lives would change. How the new creation would come forth. Now, if I were to take a poll today, which I'm not, if I were to take a poll today and ask you, most of you would ask that God would deal with these three conditions in the order in which He mentions them in Scripture. You would ask that He deal with the disorder. You would ask that He deal with the emptiness. These things would come first. You say, "How do you know that? You don't know what I'm thinking." No, but I know how you pray. I know how we pray. I know that at prayer meetings, 90% of the prayers are about the disorder and the emptiness. I know that when a person is in trouble, they cry out to God. So they say, "God, would You fix this disorder? God, I'm so lonely. I'm tempted to end my own life." Emptiness. Disorder and emptiness. People pray, they cry out to God. And what do they cry out about first? They cry out first in the order of which we find creation in the Word of God. They cry out because their lives are broken and in disorder. And they cry out because they are empty. They do not run first to the subject of darkness. It's how most Christians pray. "God, help me. My finances are falling apart. God, help me. My relationships are a mess. God, help me. I'm depressed and I'm lonely." We want that order because the Bible says in John 3, which we read in the beginning, that men love darkness. Oh, it gets heavy now. I'm going to say it this way so you understand who I'm speaking to. We love darkness because we still have a flesh nature. Man loves darkness and not light. You see, let me just flesh this out for a moment. If we could come to church and sing and pray and lift our hands and do all of those things and still be in darkness, we would. You say, what are you talking about? Oh, if I can cling to darkness, because there are things in my life that I still want to cling to, I still want my way. If I can just serve God and be on the praise team and show up, but still have my darkness. Men love darkness, beloved. If we could go to heaven and live there and carry with us our own little spot of darkness, many Christians would say, sign me up, because men love darkness. Women love darkness. Children love darkness. So we cry out to God to fix things except the darkness. That's why we can pray and sing and attend church and still plant little seeds of gossip in the church. That's why we can go around and drop little seeds to try to make somebody else look bad and ourselves look good. That's why we can try to manipulate things with our emotions. We can be offended and we can be unforgiving because we still cling to darkness. That's why we can come and we can give begrudgingly to the Lord. That's how we can go through the motions, because men love darkness. But if you will notice, what did God do? The Bible says that God created the heavens and the earth, and then it begins to tell how he did it, and it says the earth was without form, void, and dark. But God went in the reverse order, or at least to begin with, because he kind of lumps darkness and disorder together. I mean, disorder and emptiness together. He doesn't attack that first. He goes to the heart of the problem. God said, let there be light. God didn't go in the order that he first mentions the problems. God goes to the thing that is the most urgent, and that is the darkness. The first thing God does is he solves the problem of darkness. God has set the priority that first he deals with darkness, and that should be our priority as well. None of your problems will be solved. Oh, if I just stopped there, what a horrible, depressing sermon. Beloved, none of your problems will be solved without light. None of your problems will be solved. They may be temporarily given a reprieve. Sometimes God even touches our lives. There's a miracle that helps us through the moment, and the rent comes miraculously. We have the money to cover the rent or whatever it may be, but our lives are still in disorder. So there's still this continual problem with the finances or with relationships or whatever it may be, because men love darkness, because we want to run to God and get the problem fixed instead of running to Christ to find him alone and his word to us, his light on the subject, his revelation to our hearts. It begins with light from Christ. It is the first step in the plan of salvation, is that light breaks in upon a soul that is lost, and they hear the words of Christ. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. It is the first step in God's plan for transformed lives, God's plan for sanctification. If you will notice this, I'm almost done, but notice this. We talk a lot about false ministries, false prophets, about deceivers in the earth today. They always go through these problems in the order of creation rather than in the order that God tackles them. They want to teach you how to have success in your areas of disorder. how to have success in your finances. They want to tell you how you can feel better about yourself and the emptiness that you're feeling. And rarely do they want to take you to the place where the darkness is dealt with by the Word of God and the light of Christ. But God said, let there be light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. What does it mean to follow Jesus? What does it really mean, church, to follow the Lord? God wants to take us somewhere in the months and the years ahead. God has a plan for revival for His people. God is certainly not satisfied with things the way they are. And most of you, your hearts are restless and not satisfied with things the way they are. Some of you have known God even more so in the past than you do today. Some of you know Him a little, and you know that deep inside you're still empty because you're not walking fully with Him. God wants to take this church to a place where there is the Spirit of Christ revealing Himself to the inner man, where there is revival in the heart of every person in this place. But what does it mean to follow Him? Does it mean that I tell people I'm now a Christian. I stopped my cussing, my drinking, and my chewing and spitting. Some of you don't even know what that's talking about. Is it just the little brush up the outer man and show up for church on Sunday? Is that what it means to be a follower? Jesus looked at Peter, and when he said, follow me, Peter left his livelihood, left his boat, his nets, his fishing, and gave everything of himself to following after Jesus. Jesus said, if you would be my disciple first, count the cost. It's going to mean rearranging the order of your life. But if you don't have the order of your life rearranged, the emptiness that you feel and the darkness that you experience cannot be lessened and cannot be healed, cannot be changed. Because you must change your priorities to where the priority is Christ, His living Word, His light to your inner man, where deep calls unto deep, where spirit speaks to spirit, where God hovers over the face of the deep of your life and speaks something real to you. You will solve no problem, not in the sense of eternity. You will solve no problem in a way that gives you real relief without light from Jesus. I don't know, only the Spirit of God can help you with this, that you would take this away with you today. That some of you in this place, you're having a real battle in a relationship. It could be husband and wife. It could be with children or with parents. It could be with friends or with those in co-workers or whatever it may be. You may find a way to get around it. You may run from it. You may change jobs. You may divorce the wife or the husband, or you may kick the kids out, or all manner of things. But I'm telling you that you're not going to get real relief. You'll just run from one disorder to another disorder to another disorder, and you will never change unless you change the priority. And the priority is Jesus. Give me light. Give me understanding. Change me. Change me, Lord. I've begged you to change everybody else. How many of you beg God for years to change everybody else? And it doesn't work. He just doesn't get it. I don't know. He's waiting on you to get it, that He wants to change you. Change me, Lord. Change me. Some of you have such an emptiness inside that in the South, we have an expression, you look like you've been baptized in pickle juice. There's a bitterness. You see, there's a sourness, there's a bitterness, there's an emptiness that you can't hide. Only He can fill that emptiness. You can't fill it with anything else and have it last. You think, found my niche. Got me a new hobby. Got me a new pastime. Found me somewhere to go and hide. Whatever it may be, it's only temporary. It's not going to last because ultimately you're running from yourself and you're running from the lover of your soul. You may deal with an issue. You may even repent of those surface, what I call them surface things. It's not that they're not serious. Those things that are the immediate problem on the surface of your life that cause you great turmoil down in the depths. You may even go in repentance, but if you don't ever seek the remedy, then you just do the same thing over and over and over again. The problem is disorder, emptiness, and darkness. In our scripture, and I close with this, the first response in scripture to the voice of God, when he spoke into the darkness, I said it was significant because he spoke into the deep places. It's a picture of man. But the first response, result to the voice of God is light. And in the Word of God, this first mention ties these two things together so that you can't leave here today and say, I don't understand what he means. I understood everything. It spoke to my heart, but I don't understand what he means about light. I'm going to go get light from Jesus. Oh, what am I going to do? Sit out on a mountainside, wait for a comet to come over as a sign? How do I get light from Jesus? When God spoke, there was light. Amen? Look here. When he speaks, there is light. His word is the revelation of his heart to man. It's light, and it is life, and it is life-changing. And if you want light from Christ, then you must go to the words of Christ. Feed on the word of the Lord. Let him make it real to you in the inner man and speak to the troubles of your heart that you might know what it means to have the hand of God touch your life and to begin to. The Bible says that the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the waters and God began. After there was light, what did he begin doing? He began bringing order and he began filling the earth. He began filling and separating and moving things around. He was bringing about a creation. And that's what he wants to do in your life. But there has to be the light that comes first. So if your priorities have been wrong, Paul, if you'll come, if your priorities have been wrong, then the results are going to be wrong. You have these three words describing your life, then what you need is light from the Lord to know him, to have revelation from him. That is the center of everything. We're going to close in song, and if you